Hello and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast, in case you didn't know by now. My name is Chris, the Dirty Pirate, and I am your host for this week because, quite frankly, Danny's too bloody lazy. Speaking of Danny, let's introduce him first and get him out the way. You all right, Button Monkey?
Oh, it's bloody winter, isn't it? That's all I've got to say.
Are you sad?
I want to go and live somewhere where it's warm all year round, apart from Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day, where it's knee-deep in snow.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm off to on my hollybobs, which I know John hates me saying, so that's why I'm saying it, on Sunday. So if you want me to pick you up,
then,
cool. I might need a crane, but...
Oi, cheeky. I've got a bus you can... the thing you can just shove me in the back of.
The trouble is they sink when you go over the water. That's the problem. Okay. Yeah.
No. Oh, forget that. Then I'll stay and put up with it while you bronze yourself.
Damn right, you should do. I'll send you pics. Anyway, let's move on. Two other guests this evening. No funny intros. I'm going to introduce this man simply as legend. It's Mr. Goonaholic. You're right, David.
Yeah, still the wrong word, mate. Still the wrong word.
Oh, it's right in my book.
Yeah, I'm fine. Looking forward to tonight. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Pleasure as always. And a new voice. Oh, I say new. He has been on before, I think on the radio show, but it is a new voice to many people, unless, of course, you're a fan of Goonasphere before they ran away. Don't know where they've gone. I'm worried about Daniel and James. But anyway, we've got Devon all the way from Atlanta, USA. Good evening, Devon.
How's everybody doing out there?
All good, thank you. I say good evening. It's probably not evening for you. Is it afternoon over there now?
It's mid-afternoon, 5 hours behind you guys. It's still a little steamy, so I'm sorry, Danny, but we get the 80 degrees and 75% humidity for another month or so, but it's just now starting to turn a little less summer, but not quite fall yet here.
Well, the only thing steamy that Danny knows is usually something he produces in the morning.
In the morning, but while I'm in bed... Actually, keep me warm, I suppose. This is actually Devon's third appearance on the podcast. He's done 212 and 220.
Well, there you go. That's why you are the man with the stats, and I am merely a simple host. Yes. But nevertheless, while I digress, let's talk some Arsenal, shall we? Because that's why people tune in, after all. Let's crack on. So we're going to start with Vorskla. Very brief, because frankly, it seems like an age ago now, doesn't it? All the way back to last Thursday. If you want to know our in-depth thoughts, you know where to go. YouTube.com/ Bergkamp Wonderland. Last radio show. Well, not the last radio show. Last to most recent radio show, and listen to what we all had to say. But let's just get the panel's verdict. Devon, let's start with you. Fan of the Europa League, and were you a fan of the 4-2 win in the end?
In the end, it was a good win. I was good to see Bernd Leno make his debut. I feel like playing out of the back suits more to his strengths of, you know, his feet being a little bit more together than Petr Cech's. It was good to see Torreira with the start. You know, all in all, I don't like giving up goals to sub-level competition, but they were great shots. So I think we got a little, complacent at 4-0, and hence the final score being 4-2. But I like the Europa League. I think that it's good for us to have European competition. I know it's not the Championship League, I know it's not the Champions League, but I'm excited to see what Emery can do. He's won this competition 3 times. So, you know, any chance for us to get opportunities for guys that don't normally play in the Premier League to see some time on the pitch, I'm all about it. And to get a win and start the competition well, it's a good start.
Yeah, well said. And David, we briefly touched there. Devon touched on the lineup and in particular Bernd Leno. Any sort of thoughts from yourself with regards to the goalkeeping change and indeed the personnel change? It was quite a strong lineup that we fielded, which seemed to surprise quite a few people.
Yeah, it was really what I expected, because I think he wanted as many of his 5 captains retained, but at the same time he wanted to give the rest of the senior squad players a chance to get some game time under their belt. So it was just what I expected to see. There were no kids other than on the bench. I think we'll see them against Brentford rather than in the Europa League this year. It all depends how well they progress in the Carabao Cup as to whether they'll get their opportunity. But no, I was impressed with the side, and I was almost very impressed with the performance of the second half. because I think we'll probably talk later when we get onto the Everton game about we have this issue at the moment of not being able to start games quickly. And I'm now beginning to wonder whether that's become something tactical and intentional or whether it's just that we need that kick up the backside at half time to get going.
Yeah, clean sheetalitis and slow startalitis. But as you say, one of those was addressed at the weekend, which we'll touch on in a minute. Danny, from your point of view, I'll be honest, I do struggle to get into these Europa League games in the group stage. No offence to the opponents, but some of them, you know, even the most hipsterish of hipsters don't really know a lot about these teams. And I thought Vorskla weren't bad. They were quite defensive, but they had their moments. They scored two goals, which we kind of gave them. But any complaints from you in terms of the overall spectacle or the fact that we had quite a low crowd? Is that a concern to you, or is it just a case of get out of the group and then move on?
Well, I've heard that the crowd numbers aren't going to be reported as tickets sold anymore. It's going to be as people, how many people turned up there. I think they said they've got higher security, so I have to count how many people actually turn up. But whoscored.com still says there's 59,000 people there. there definitely wasn't there, because we always have mates at the game and they send us pictures of the half-empty stadium, because I think the cameras don't always show. I know, like in the WWF, not E, they always put black sheets over it all, so you can't really see there's nobody there. And I don't think we'd really get away with that at the Emirates. But it's nice to see players getting a chance. Elneny was, for me, was really good last season. And it's nice to see him getting a chance there. And like Dan was saying, Leno getting his first game, he did really well. Not much he could really have done about the two goals that he conceded. Lichtsteiner, a right back, was just, I think he's a wonderful player. And at times, I think I would rather, in an important game where we need to defend, I'd rather have him playing rather than having Bellerin playing. But you look at the early stages of the Europa League, it's basically stat padding, isn't it?
That's probably one way of putting it, yeah, stat padding. I'll just ask you one other question before we leave this game in the past. Let's say, for argument's sake, we are through after... I mean, realistically, if you win your first three games, you're through. If we were to do that, I think we got Carrier Bag from Tesco next week, and then I think we play Sporting at home. Realistically, that's two games that are winnable. If we have won those and we have 9 points, would you like to then see what you'd call a Carabao Cup team, or would you stick with a fairly strong team until it's mathematically certain that you've qualified?
We don't have the biggest squads, do we? But we do have the under-21s playing in the Checkatrade Trophy, which we have had. So the players that were in the under-23s are now playing in the under-21s, because like John Jules up front is only 17 or 18. And so everyone is moving up a level. So then normally we'd go, oh, we'll have the under-23s play in the later stages of the Europa League. Well, we can't, because they're already playing in the League Cup, and some of them are playing in the Checkatrade Trophy, which we won the first, beat Coventry in the first game convincingly. I think it was 2-0 we beat them. Yeah. And they're having a great run in the league for the under-23s, as are the under-18s, because they just keep changing the who is eligible to play in it. So I think we have got enough fringe squad members that are going to be there for like Holding and Lichtsteiner. I think Leno's will get a decent run of games in all of the non-Premier League Cup games. So, I would like to see it a little bit more experimentation. And they obviously don't care that crowds aren't going to turn up, because if they're not going to turn up for the first game, then I doubt very much they're going to turn up for some of the other games, especially if they know that we're already qualified and we're not going to be playing our best players. I mean, that game there against Volska, when we had Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, Welbeck, and I suppose you'd consider Sokratis and Monreal as maybe even first team starting 11 players. So once those start to fade away and we get other players in who are like reserve players, and people aren't going to turn up even more, and it's going to make the atmosphere worse. But it's experience, isn't it? I'm surprised Guendouzi didn't start that game. But have you got, is that a dog barking? Or is
that's
you coughing?
Me. That's me. I'm sorry. I've got a puppy. Okay. And he's going crazy. But just as a fan of European football, hold on. Just as a fan of European football, I've got to say that, you know, that Sporting matchup for me is amazing. I can't see why you'd stay away from that. That's if you play FIFA, that's juicy. That's a club you start at, you know.
Mm. I'm quite looking forward to that, because for those who don't know, Sporting are a club that have essentially had to rebuild their entire model over the summer. They had a series of players leave. I think one of them is playing in the Premier League now. Rui Patricio terminated his own contract. Gelson Martins went to Atletico Madrid. A few others have departed. And of course, they are still suffering from lack of Joel Campbellitis, which obviously affects us all. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
People why the players are allowed to leave. It's a really interesting story.
I'm not sure I fully understand it. From what I can gather, there was a massive contractual issue in terms of players' wages and bonus structures on the back of last season. The players weren't paid what they should have been paid in terms of their contracts. If at all, indeed. Yeah, I think some of them weren't even paid at all, which essentially breached their contractual obligation from the club. Therefore, the players got together, had a meeting. I think William Carvalho, Arsenal link, yeah, who's now at Real Betis, so he obviously went up a level. Yes, I think he called together a lot of the players along with Patricio, and they essentially said, right, we're just going to terminate our contracts. And there was a loophole in the legislation which allowed them to do this. I think there is still a High Court ruling that could mean that I think Wolves could be liable to pay something like 60-odd million for Patricio if it gets passed. But from what I can gather, it doesn't have much legs, and I think the players will get away. But I think for memory, I think even the manager walked out. Was it... It wasn't Jesus, was it? I can't remember the manager's name.
Because also they got attacked by fans.
There was an attack on the training ground. The players were training and the fans essentially bust in through and they attacked a few of the players. And I think that was what triggered a lot of this situation, where the players just said, look, this is not acceptable. And off they went. So, yeah, a combination of the two.
Hasn't that always been an issue in the Portuguese league too, that with like third-party ownership questionable ownership situations and agents of players having, you know, I mean, I remember when Arsenal was in for Carvalho, you know, so many years ago, the hardest part about getting him was because somebody owned a percentage that wasn't willing to sell, you know? So how do you deal in a league that's three team top heavy, you know, with Braga and Sporting and Porto, you know, and also is as potentially, you know, crooked as it could be, you know, I don't understand how some of the situations like Patricio's are going to get resolved without somebody just, you know, putting some money on the table for it to go away.
No, I agree. And I do think it's going to be, excuse me, one of those that runs and runs. I don't think we've heard the end of that whole situation. And you just can't have fans busting their way into training grounds. I mean, I know it happens in the Italian league a lot, and John would tell you a few stories about particularly Napoli ultras last season. But
shirts back.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, fans are passionate, but there is a line. They probably have crossed it in that respect. But that's for a rainy day. That's Sporting, and that's further down the line. So we will leave Vorskla there. As I say, if you want to know or want to hear a little bit more about the immediate reaction, have a listen to our radio show, which my good self was on, along with John and Christ, who else did that show? I can't even bloody remember. Oh, Ellis, of course. Hashtag fuck Ellis, if he's listening. But yeah, do tune into that. And of course, if you're new to this parish, we do a live YouTube show after every single game Arsenal play, however good or bad. So give us a listen. Right, let's move on then. Sunday. David, I'll start with you. Arsenal 2, Everton 0. In the end, fairly comprehensive. We had lovely clean sheets at the end, which is delightful. In no uncertain thanks to one Petr Cech, which was good, given the level of criticism he's had to put up with. What did you make of the performance overall, first of all? Were you fairly happy with what you saw on the day?
In the end, yes. And your kind of mood is set by what you do before and after as well. So it was a good day all day for me on Sunday. But the game itself, and we said we'd come on to it later, the first half we started once again with absolutely no pace, no confidence, no ambition. We allowed ourselves to be hit on the break rather too much for our comfort, and I would Petr Cech a great deal. There were two one-on-one saves and another one someone curled in from the left there that kept us ahead of the game, if you like, or on level terms. And it was disappointing in as much as we started with Lucas Torreira, who I thought was had a very good game, all told, but he didn't start as quickly as he usually does. And I think I said somewhere last week, he's kind of the metronome of that side when he's in it. So if he's not at it and pumping straight away, then we have a little bit of an issue that's going on week by week. But the second half, again, we came out of the blocks. They'd obviously had a proper good chewing. The goals, when they came, there was an absolute peach of a goal from Alex Lacazette that everyone will have seen by now. Ramsey set that up. He then set up, that was Lacazette, Aubameyang. He set up Aubameyang for the second. Rather well, I thought, because he was stumbling into the ball, managed to flick it backwards with the inside of his right boot. And it was offside, you can say afterwards. But I thought we deserved it because we could well have had a couple of penalties beforehand. Certainly the first half pull on Lacazette, he was too honest and didn't go down. And if he had done, I think we would have got the kick. And then the handball in the second half, just before we saw the first goal. So all in all, yes, I was happy on the day. But I think when we're playing someone a little bit more ambitious than Everton, we may be in trouble in a few first halves if we don't start more brightly.
Yeah, well said. There are certainly things to work on, as well as the fact we got the result, which is great. There's certainly things that need to be looked at. Devon, I want to ask you a little bit about my man crush, Alexandre Lacazette. Mm-hmm. I have a few man crushes, but he will always be my number one, bless him. Fantastic goal, as David touched on there. The ability to take that without even looking at the goal opened up a game that at that point could easily have gone either way. My question to you is, would you like to see this formation or this system continue with Aubameyang sort of more to the left, or would you like us to go essentially balls out and just stick both of them up as a two in a sort of 4-4-2 adjusted style?
Alba looks happy. I mean, as long as he's happy and putting in goals and doing front flips, I'm happy. The two of them work well in the lineup, whether they're both up top or whether Aubameyang's on the left wing. The question is do you continue to play Ozil on the right at the sacrifice of Mkhitaryan? You know, I don't think you can put the both of them up top per se as you know, dual strikers, but I do love seeing Lacazette in that center, that true center striker or striker role or center forward role, whatever you want to call it. He's not a hold up player. He's not like Giroud was for us, but he's scoring goals and he's taking shots decisively. So I like seeing them play together. I'd love to see Mesut play more of a 10 as opposed to an out wide winger. But I've said on podcasts before that I think that the square peg in this round hole is Ramsey. I think that he doesn't flow in the play like the rest of the players do, or doesn't yet. And I think that sacrificing Ozil to the right at the expense of playing Ramsey as a 10 is why you see the first half slow starts.
Yeah, I will certainly come on to a certain Welshman in a minute. That one I'm saving up for David. But Danny, I want to come to you, Danny, in terms of the defence. We saw Socrates lead the pitch with a dead leg. I'm delighted that he's been making Jason look absolutely ridiculous so far. No, I'm joking, Jace. If you're listening, I'm sure you are. But it would be fair to say I think he's grown. Socrates in recent weeks, I think he really has shown so far why he is or why he's been signed, but he hobbled off with an injury, and we saw a big Bob Holding come on. I thought he looked calm and assured. Mustafi still looks like a guy who's going to make a mistake. I don't like to criticize players, but is there any concern from you moving forwards? We've got a lot of games to play. Dinos Mavropanos is out injured at the moment. Don't worry, though. Good news. Carl Jenkinson is fit, so that's fine. That's a thing. Is there any concerns for you, Danny, about that centre-half position? I mean, Koscielny's due back in November, but we don't know what level he's going to come at this stage.
Well, we've got Bob Holding, who's brilliant, and we've got Chambers, who's gone. And we've got Socrates, who is holding it all together, and got poor old Mustafi, who is sometimes he reminds me of a dog that's been let off the leash in a park, and he's running around. And I'm a fan of Mustafi, if nothing else, just for the ginger beard that he's rocking. And I do like him, but we really only do have three central defenders at the moment, of which, I mean, Socrates, I don't know, as a footballer, Chris, does a dead leg, will you be all right for the next game if it is a dead leg?
Probably, but there's two issues I think you've got with it. And again, as we always say,
what's
in this
dead leg mean? Is it just like numb?
He took a knock to the side of the knee. It was like knee, two knees it's two guys running at each other, and they both. It's imagine just clamming your knee into somebody else, and it hurt. It's a bruise.
And the issue you've got, as I'm sure Dom would tell people, is when you're quite a heavy set defender, as he is, those sort of knocks tend to take a bit longer to run off. Yes, they're big, powerful, strong players, but they rely on these big muscles to carry that bulk, and I think that's when you've got the issue. If it is something inside the knee, that will take a while for the swelling to go down and it's to settle. I don't expect it to be a long-term issue, but you know, you just don't know. It could be a few weeks, and my worry is what we're going to sort of play if one of the others gets a knock. What is it, something that concerns you at all, or are you comfortable that we've got enough?
It is quite worrying, because then we're down to two central defenders, aren't we? Although, like you said, Koz is, we'll be back in training towards the end of November. He ain't going to be first team ready for, because it's not like with most of our players where when you get an injury you can start training and then you maybe get back in on the few sub games and then start a game. With him, you've got to be so careful, because his Achilles is Achilles that is damaged.
Yes.
It's going to be like tissue paper, isn't it? You're going to go, oh, we don't want you doing if it's cold or if it's wet, or you don't want you to do too much tackling or running, because I think everyone's going to realise that if that goes again, then he's really going to have to go, well, you're going to have to maybe call time on his career.
Yeah.
I mean,
now, what about Lichtsteiner at centre back? What about Lichtsteiner at centre back?
Yeah.
Or Monreal, or Monreal,
or El Nene. We don't have a left back, have we? I mean, is Kolasinac? Kolasinac. Is he back? Is he training?
He's back in full training as of the end of October, I'm led to believe. And you know, I know people won't want to hear this, but you know, Jenkinson is potentially available now. I think Maitland-Niles is ahead of schedule. The Arsenal website reported that he's only, I think he's a couple of weeks away from being fully fit now, whereas they reckoned it was November originally. But it's that old adage of round pegs in square holes situation, isn't it? You know, you want
don't forget about Mavropanos. You've still got Mavropanos and holding.
Yeah,
but you don't have Mavropanos right now. He's injured. Yeah. He's off hurt right now too. He got hurt in training.
He's 3 weeks away, apparently.
But we don't want loads of. Go on, David.
No, that was it. I just went, ugh, I didn't realise.
Sorry. We don't want, as soon as the team is starting to settle, we've been settling at the front for quite a while, and the settling is working its way backwards through the team. The midfield almost looks like it's sorted now, maybe a small issue with who plays at the 10, and the full-backs look sorted, and the centre-backs are around the keeper, and everything is nicely coming together. And then we've got no backup left-back, we've got our backup centre-back is probably going to be playing with Mustafi, who himself isn't first choice. So when you have too many players playing in that first 11 that aren't the first choice players, then it's going to unsettle something that looks like it's headed in the right direction. So that bit does worry me. But we've said all along that we didn't have the money to go and spend £75 million on a centre-back. We had to do with what we have. And until we get some more of those players out of the club, then we're not going to be able to do much more with it. And maybe even if you want to give new players contracts.
With our limited resources, we spent £26 million on a goalkeeper that's played 90 minutes.
I think the concern is it's not about spending 75 million. I mean, there's some talk apparently that Steve Rowley turned down the idea of Virgil van Dijk because he said he was a little bit too fancy on the ball, which is quite funny. It's very Arsenal that. But I don't think you need to spend 75 million. I think it's just a case of that maybe a few of our fans are looking at some of the players in the Premier League and elsewhere and thinking, could we not just spend 15 to 20 and just get another body in?
Oh, that bloke West Ham bought from the Farmers League.
You're talking about like a Johnny Evans?
Yeah, I mean, I was never sold on the idea of Evans personally, but I think there are players out there that you could get at a decent rate. I mean, wasn't there talk that we were after Felipe Luis in January? Because apparently his contract's up at the end of the season with Atletico Madrid. I think that's the sort of almost another Lichtsteiner, but in the left-back position. And you almost want another... You either want a very experienced... another experienced player like Socrates to come in, or you want another Rob Holding age. You don't want somebody who's, I think when you're looking at buying somebody who's 24, 25, that's when you're going to pay 60, 70, 80 odd million, which we can't do. So I would just like us to maybe, whether it be January or even at the end of the season, if needs be, I'd like to see us get somebody who can do a job and potentially help the other players. But maybe that's a conversation for another rainy day. But I'll tell you what is a conversation I do want to have. David, it's time for you to upset the Welshman, I'm afraid. Or two Welshmen, as the case may be here. I don't know whether you agree with this or not, but I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about Aaron Ramsey. I think he's largely gone under the radar this season, and not in a good way. And this is just to say, I'm not criticising him as a player, and I'm not criticising the fact that his contract situation is still up in the air. His commitment is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, so far it's been fine. I haven't got any doubts about that. My concern is his form. He looks like a player who doesn't really know what position he's been asked to play. He looks like a player who's being stifled in terms of his natural game, and he looks like somebody who just isn't quite at it at the moment. Is it just a case that, you know, he literally hasn't been at it yet and he hasn't quite settled into the season, or is there something deeper going on here? We've seen it before with players who are in contract dispute, if I can put it that way. It does tend to affect their performances. Is that something that worries you, or am I reading into it a bit too much?
No, that in itself doesn't bother me. I think his problem, it's one that he shares with Mesut Ozil at the moment, is that they are, and I wrote about it last night, they are being given, it would appear to me, to be two roles to interchange in, so that both gets time to play in the centre. Both have to go, therefore, and go and take a turn out wider. And in terms of working out who's going to be doing what and when, it's having an impact, because you could see from the number of touches that Aaron had on Sunday, he wasn't really at the game. Although I mentioned there, he did get forward for the two assists. And so in that respect, opened things up for us. But it was two assists and not much else on the day. And I do think it is this thing where they're trying to shoehorn these two guys in, because let's not forget, Emery said he wanted to build a side around Aaron Ramsey. Well, I think what he's trying to do is see if he can build a side around Aaron Ramsey and Mesut Ozil. And at the moment, they haven't quite worked it out how they're going to do that. And I hope they do. But if they haven't done it in by the time we come to play Liverpool, for example, then perhaps it's time for Mkhitaryan to come back for one of them. So you've got someone more natural on the right-hand side.
Yeah, this is...
Real quick, can I say something? Can I say something
on that?
Aaron Ramsey, to me, is right now showing us signs of what Alexis Sanchez was last year. Mm. Every time he gets the ball, it's almost as though he's pressing so hard to show what he can do, which is why I've seen these first couple games with him as almost like a showcase. I know Emery said that, yeah, he was going to build a squad with Aaron Ramsey as a focal point. But of course, who's going to say that? Who's going to come out and say he's on the market, we're looking to sell him? You know, who's going to weaken their negotiation point, you know, by saying, I think Ramsey's in the shop window, and I think he's in the January shop window for a team, maybe in Spain, maybe in France, maybe in Italy, especially with Gazidis going to Milan. I don't think he wants to be here. Otherwise, he would have signed a contract by now.
I suppose that's my concern. If this drags on in towards January, do we have to then look at almost cutting the losses, which is a horrible expression, but it's the only one I can use. And I mean, I know it's a debate we've had on this podcast a few times and others as well, but I just feel it's something that is worth bringing up. The only other thing I wanted to bring up, Danny, I'll pick on you for this one. We did, in large spells, look decent against Everton. We definitely got a stroke of luck with the offside goal. Let's make no bones about that. But we were opened up several times as well. And it's ironic that the game that we were opened up several times from the beginning was the game we got a clean sheet in. We have, I think David mentioned, we have got bigger games on the horizon after this quote-unquote easier run. I think we've got Watford and I think we've got Fulham in a few weeks. But we have got some big teams looming. We need to start tightening up, don't we? We need to start being convincing in these wins, not just saying, well, we won, that's fine. That isn't going to cut it when we start playing these top four, is it?
Yeah, there's a few things that I think they need to work on. A little like you'd see Xhaka, who all of this season has been the one that gets the ball off the centre backs, takes it into midfield and passes it around. So a couple of times I saw him do that and Torreira is standing there going, well, isn't this my job? We can't have that. They need to go, well, you do this job and you give it to me and then I'll do my job. And if they're not going to have communication like that, then that could be a problem, because the more skillful passing attacking teams could well turn us inside out of that. But I was just looking at Xhaka's stats against Newcastle, 86 successful passes out of 103. And then against Everton, he had 82 out of 101. So it's about 80-odd% plus pass success rate. And then when you look at against Everton, he's, like I said, he had 101 passes. The next was Mustafi with 68 and Torreira with 64. And he only had a 67% pass success rate. So as much as stick as Xhaka is getting, he is the man who is kind of holding that midfield together. And it was also nice to see Theo Walcott doing what he's done for us for a decade, running at the speed of light towards someone, getting there and going, I don't know what to do now. And then poor bloke. And then he got a black eye out of it and he had to come off. But it was a bit sad. But yeah, it's they need to sort those things out. But everything is gelling together. But like Devon was saying about Ramsey, there's a few things. If everyone else is going to start gelling, then you need to go, right, we're either going to play the bloke who is on a new 3-year contract, highest paid player at the club. You're going to play every game at the 10, or that's the only option you can have, because you can't keep playing Ramsey there, because Ramsey isn't going to do the job. As well as, although he did get two assists, one of them as he was falling forward. Was he falling forward? And he missed the shot.
Copped it up. Yeah, I
watched it in slow motion, and then he cocked it up, and then he fell forward, and then he deliberately hit the ball with it underneath with the sole of his foot, pushed it into Lacazette, who then worked a little bit of magic. But I often think, why is Ramsey playing if he isn't? It looks like he's not going to stay at the club. Because if you want to stay, yes, no, well, there you go, off you go. Those hours and minutes that he is on that pitch, someone like Guendouzi could be on there, and he isn't the end of the player that Ramsey is, but every game that Guendouzi plays, he looks more and more confident, more and better. So you're wasting these minutes on a player that isn't really fitting into that situation, because he doesn't fit in the 10. And he
shop windowing him, though. You're completely putting him in the shop window. That's what it has to be.
Who would go shopping
for him? AC Milan.
Yeah, but that already doesn't know what he's doing. What is it? What he can do?
Come get your boy Ivan Gazidis.
I genuinely wonder what we would. I think my concern is, and I've been thinking this for a while, is the window of opportunity to sell was the summer for me. If you were going to do it, that was the time. Because if he's going to potentially go in January, clubs are not stupid. They're going to know full well that he's coming to the end of his contract. My concern is we're going to Nasri it. You know, he's going to go for a packet of pork scratchings and a postcard from Jason, and that's all he's going to go for.
Ticking clock, isn't it, of how much we get from it. It's dropping by the day.
And the longer, and this is the gamble, the longer that his form is, you know, I think it'll be fair to say patchy, the less his value is going to be. You know, it's not like he is tearing up the pitch every time he's playing and everybody in Europe's going, cool, this is a guy we've got to get. And of course, you don't know at this stage. I know that the official ruling is that clubs can't talk to people until 6 months before the contract, whatever. But, you know, we're not naive enough to think that Aaron Ramsey's agent and, well, in fact, we know, don't we? His agents are wrong uns. And I'm sure, allegedly, and I'm sure that...
That should be the name of the show. The name of the agents are wrong uns.
I think we're all realistic to know that there's probably some feelers out there about, or if Aaron was to become available, would you be interested? It's got to be, because, you know, the lad is protecting his future. He's a father of two. You know, he's given us, what was it, 8 years now he's been at the club? You know, he's given good service. And I'll tell you what,
if you could get Julian Draxler for Aaron Ramsey in January, would you pull that trigger?
I personally wouldn't, because I think they're two very different players. I think if you could get Adrian Rabiot for him, and he's in a very similar contractual situation PSG, then yes, I would.
About Rabiot, can we have him?
Well, we've got him. So, budget Rabiot is technically Guendouzi. Oh, cool.
We'll have all of them then.
We'll have all of them. We'll sign David Luiz. We'll have the whole Hair Bear bunch. But
fuck him.
No, Sideshow Bob question, crew.
Yeah,
I think the question you have to ask yourself is, if you're Aaron Ramsey, would you go anywhere in January for a fee when next summer you can move and get all of the fee for yourself and your agent.
Would I go to PSG? I think you're going to see more of that.
I think it depends on the money, to be honest, David. I think if he's offered, or the club, I mean, if he's offered the opportunity to play, as he's mentioned before, in Spain, for example, I think you'd take that. I really do. But if it's just, you know, if it's an Inter or an AC or somebody, then I think then he'll probably go, do you know what? I'll just wait. I'll bide my time and we'll see what happens at the end of my contract. But still, that's one that we'll probably revisit towards January, I would imagine, because I think it is something that's going to crop up again. So we'll leave that there. Just the final thing on Everton, and who should I pick on? David, I'll pick on you with this one as well. Any concerns about the Mkhitaryan situation? Any further concerns on the fact that Mesut was, you know, a little bit quiet again? Yes, his pass completion was decent, but he did seem to be a little bit on the periphery of things. Is it a little bit like Ramsey, where he's still adjusting to what we're asking him to do, or do you still think there's a little bit deep root there?
I think they share the same issue, being asked to do the same two jobs for every match, if you like. I genuinely do believe that. Mesut's still, his body language sometimes says that he's not enjoying what he's doing. But you can't take away from the fact that when he gets the ball and he gets space and he gets time, he's still being very productive with it. But we're getting the ball to him less and less while he and Aaron are working out who's doing what. That's the problem for me.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
Were you at the game, David?
Too. Yeah, I was.
So I often say to people that when you start actually going to games, you don't see what they show on telly. So being the wise man that you are you watching Ozil's runs and Ozil's body language like I would be at a game? And if so, what have you picked up from his body language? Is he up for it, or is he just going through the motions?
Let's put it this way. When we're attacking, when he's got the ball at his feet, when he can work a little bit of magic, he looks as though he's enjoying his game. When we lose it, he is, for me, trying to appear as though he's trying to get back and make an effort, but he doesn't get many, if any, tackles in. I don't think he got one in on Sunday, but a lot of time you did watch him, he was covering the ground to look as though he was trying to get back and get at the ball. But let's say I've been in that situation when you didn't want to get hurt in the last few minutes of a game, where I've done something similar. Obviously not at a decent level, but when players are not quite 100%, and that's going back, he's not.
It's work rate to me. I'm not particularly too fussed about his work. I think his work rate is fine. It's more just about whether we can fit all of these attacking players into the system. I'm a big fan of Mkhitaryan. I think he's one of those players that some people think, oh, he doesn't fit, but we look a better side when he's in it. We look more balanced. And the same when Iwobi come on, I thought we just had that bit more balance with that player.
That's a guy. Iwobi has made the jump this year, because last year he just wasn't.
Definitely.
And it has to be said, because he's got a lot of stick, unjustly, I think, in a lot of circumstances last season. You know, okay, he had a bit of a pofar in going out to his nightclub a little bit later than he should have. Yeah, we all agree with that. A faux pas? Pofar?
You faux pas'd the pofar.
There's your title. Pofaring the faux pas.
Danny, you're not in a position to pull anybody up on their pronunciation.
And also, in a weird way, Danny, I meant to mention this earlier, kind of hope that our defensive crisis continues, just so Julio Pegrizuelo can get a start, just so we can hear you.
Oh, Julio, unpronounceable. Yeah. Did you watch the game, Chris? I take it, like we all did. Were you worried about the amount of tracking back that Aubameyang was doing down that left hand side? Because at times he was further back than Monreal, and Monreal was always up in the mix for the corners and stuff. Which I thought, Monreal and him took two players away that made the space for Lacazette. But Aubameyang was always chasing the ball all the way back, no matter what. And Ozil must look at him and go, "Oh, fucking turn it in, son, will ya?" You're making me look bad.
I mean, I like that about Aubameyang, that he will work back. The only thing I would say is that sometimes it's like this. Talk to our friend Drew about the people who criticise Ozil for not tracking back. A player like that, you don't really want him tracking back. You want him in that final third where he does his best work. the only thing is, when you play particularly a 4-2-3-1 or a version of it that we do, is you have to have protection for your fullbacks. And a little word here for Hector Bellerin, who I think has very quietly improved massively since the start of the season, where he did look very suspect. You know, his work rate and athleticism is second to none at the moment. He really is working his nuts off. Lukaku just missed him 2 yards. Funny. His work rate and his effort, it really has come on a bundle, and he's getting better defensively. But you need to have that cover. I think Monreal is probably a good influence on Aubameyang in that he will tell him to work back in. I just think that it puts more pressure on the likes of Xhaka, who we know isn't the most mobile, and his partner. And that's where I think Torreira is going to be so key, because he's got so much energy and he's so aware of danger. He covers both fullbacks almost at the same time. And I think that's where you're going to see a player like him, you know, having to be in the side, because he offers so much. So, yeah, I mean, to me, if Aubameyang's happy and Lacazette's happy and they both, you know, they love each other, which is great to see, I'm okay with it. I really am. And I just think that the one thing, this is the only reference I'm going to make to former boss, but the one thing under Arsene is that we would go to Old Trafford, to Anfield, to shit old Lane. We would go to those places and just think, well, if we play our game, we'll win. I think under Emery, that will change. I do think we will actually set up differently to face the big sides. You saw it at Chelsea. You saw it at home to Man City. OK, they didn't work. But I do think he'll change the personnel and the tactics to suit the opposition. Whereas at home, I do think we'll blow most teams away. I really do. So, you know, we shall see. We shall see. But
it's looking interesting. We can see there's a pattern forming. The first half, you know, like a lot of managers go up and sit in the stands and they watch the first half, and then the second half they make changes. We are seeing so much of that at the moment, and then things will get changed early on, and they'll get like when you're in a boxing match or an MMA match, you kind of size up the opposition for a while, and then once you've got the make of them, then you decide, right, we're going to go and do this. Because I expected Everton to come out better in the second half than we did, and we come out and went, nope, this is ours, goodbye. And it was brilliant.
Yeah, true. I mean,
and that one bit in the second half when Aubameyang ran the length of the pitch and he come across the bottom of my screen, he looked like a whippet. I swear he had a blur behind him like the Flash TV series. He was going that quick and I just smiled and went, there he goes. Absolutely brilliant. That bloke is just, he's a thing of beauty.
And we should give a big shout out to Jeff Shreves at this point as well for
mind your language, Christopher.
Calamitous mistake on national TV. God bless Alex.
I hate it when we keep clean sheets.
Yeah.
Excuse me, can you watch your language, please?
And one thing I can 100% vouch to our listeners is I've never had a clean shit. So I don't think such things exist. Anyway, enough of that caper.
Didn't he come out and say that it was something about playing a lot of hard balls?
There's a dispute over what the issue was. He said that we had the balls for the fight, and I think that's what some people are picking up on. But either way, Shreves is from the old school of those who maybe could do with updating their views maybe on foreign players.
Careful.
Anyway, let's move on before we get a writ. Sky, wonderful broadcasters. Right, so Danny, at this point we are just going to do a very, very quick Brentford preview, and then I'd like you to in fact, should we do Fifey's forum next, or should we do my question next? No, we'll do my question next. Let's talk about Brentford just before we do. In fact, Danny, I'll start with you. How many changes? What sort of side would you like to see us put out?
Leno in goal, and then right back Lichtsteiner, because we're not playing again. This is going to be like another Europa League game, so I'm not going to list the team, but I want a sub-Europa team lineup with all the players who haven't played much. I think Guendouzi must start. Up front, got to be Welbeck. I don't want to see Aubameyang playing in this game, and I don't think Emery will do any of that a lot. So if you haven't played many minutes this season, go get your boots on. You're going to get a game. But Brentford are in the Championship, which is the second division of English football. And they are currently, I can't find them. Oh, there you go. They're seventh. They've played 9, won 4, drawn 3, lost 2, scored 16, conceded 10. And I suppose we should look at their away form, really, shouldn't we? Their away form. Oh, this is much more pleasing. Played 5, haven't.
They were in the playoff places until the weekend when they lost 3-1 at Derby, and Derby have gone above them. But they've had a very good start to the season.
done really well.
Their away form, played five, haven't won any, drawn three, scored two, lost two, scored five, conceded eight. So that away form should mean we're going to hammer them. They've got Nico Yonaris there. Oh, I used to love him
and
as a young man.
Josh De Silva, who we sold to them as well, I believe is there. Yes. I'd like to see, David, would you join me when I'd say I'd like to see Nketiah and Smith Rowe in that side tomorrow?
Yeah, and Willock as well. Yeah,
Willock,
absolutely. Yeah. Those I'd like to see Elneny and Guendouzi start as the two in front of the back four. I don't want any of that, the first team that's going to be playing at the weekend playing against Brentford, because I don't think we need to do that. The only thing I will say, Brentford, I think, have taken something close to 9,000 tickets because they've got more of the clock in than you would usually have. So they're going to have a big crowd, big vocal support behind them, and they know it's a one-off for them. They can have a real good crack. And I was reading somewhere earlier tonight that historically they're the one club we've played over 10 times who we have lost to more times than we have beaten. Now, that might have been years ago, and it's historical, but there is a warning there for us.
Mm, yeah,
historically, if you want to know, we've played them 10 times. We've won two, drawn three, lost five times. That was mainly back in the 1930s and 40s, all in the first division. And their biggest win was they beat us 3-0 at their place. But back in the late 30s and the mid-40s, we were quite good, weren't we?
Yeah. I tell you what might also be a bonus. They've got a centre forward called Neil Mopay, who gets quite a lot of their goals. He's a big physical centre forward. We happen to be playing Watford at the weekend, where a certain Cajonis Dini will be up front. I know it won't be the same players, but it'll be a nice test to see how we handle the physicality of Mopay. So we'll see how that goes. Final question on this one to you, Devon. Would you, straightforward question really, would you like to see a Europa League, would you like to see a Carabao Cup run, or are you not really that fussed?
I'm not really that fussed. I love silverware, but if it means that the kids are making a good run and maybe Danny Welbeck is getting a start and Emile Smith Rowe, like you guys said, and you know, if it means that we're seeing some progression from the youth, then I'm all about it. But if it means that we're sacrificing points in the league to try to, you know, to try to put silverware then I'm not about it.
Yeah, I think I pretty much share the same view. I'd like to see some of the kids and see how far it takes us, but not that bothered. Okay. Right, Danny. I've got my own special segment coming up in a minute, but before we get to that, let's go to Fife's Forum, the part of the show where you, the listener, are asked a question from us and we'll give some responses. So, Danny, what was the question posed this week?
So I'm just looking up England fixtures. Is there another international break in a couple of weeks?
2 weeks' time, yes. So get your pillows ready for everybody so you can all get bored to death again.
Jesus. Right. The question that we set the listeners is from our very own Mr. Lord Hillwood, Steve, because no one else could be bothered. He says, which away game or team fills you with the most dread? So some of the answers were, Alfredo says Liverpool away. I'll ask you three, what yours is. Liverpool away, that front three versus our defence fills me with fear, especially in the first 20 minutes of the match. Colin Lawrence, I'm dreading our away game with the Spuds, if I'm honest, because a bad result there and the usual rats from a certain TV media platform will be all over Emery like a rash. Don't talk to me about rashes, I'm still itchy. Noir Confidential says Man U at Old Trafford because I hate them so much. I really want us to kick their asses that I am afraid that it's going to be the other way round. Guna Dub says Man United due to our shocking form there, in brackets, not counting 98 and 02 historical wins. Nikki Wilson says West Ham. I have a right wind-up merchant at work and always goes on about the 1980 FA Cup final. That goal was offside, and I told Trevor Brook in that. I said, in 1979, that goal you scored was offside. He put me right. And West Ham winning the 1966 World Cup. I wasn't even born until 1985. Oh, poor old Nicky. Two more to go. Jimmy R says, that team filled me with the most dread for this season was Stoke. Before this season was Stoke, because I never knew if our players were coming back on the coach or in a bloody body bag before this
That's
season.
That's a good answer.
Good answer.
And finally, Pop DeBoichi says, I think we have a nice few winnable fixtures coming up. Then the Palace away game can look like a potential hiccup to our good form. If we manage to win that one, it would put us in a very good position to beat Liverpool at home, which would really boost the squad confidence. So for me, Palace away could be the turning point in our season if we manage to continue our good form in the next few games. So, Devon, what's your answer? You can have an MLS game if you want.
If that were the case, it'd be New York, New Jersey Red Bulls coming up this this Saturday, or the 30th. No, but it's weird. For me, it's the Shane Long-led Southampton games. You know, that for some reason, every time we go down to the coast in a match that I thought we were going to win, it always ended up a 4-1 loss the other way and me scratching my head going, what the hell just happened? So Southampton, or in previous seasons, I know they're both down, those trips away to West Brom or away to Stoke, again, because of the injuries and the substandard level of play on their end, where it often seemed like they were just trying to injure our top flight players. Those would be my clubs. But for some reason, it's just been Southampton these past couple of years.
David?
It'd have to be Tottenham for me. It's turned into a fixture. I just don't enjoy away from home anymore. And I haven't been, oh God, years. Although this year, of course, it'll be a blast because we don't know whether we'll be playing them at Milton Keynes or Wembley.
or anywhere. Is anything going to be done about that? Because imagine if that was us, they would ban us, they'd slap a fine on us, they'd deduct points. Them fuckers are going to get away with it, aren't they? It says in the rules you're not allowed to use any more than two stadiums in one season.
How they've been allowed to get away with going to MK Dons without, I mean, they surely that they should have just had it where, sorry, if you can't field your stadium, the fixture's reversed. Lost. It goes to MK. No, go to MK Dons. They should have had the fixture reversed.
Guys, we know the answer. The Football Association are making money out of them at Wembley.
Yeah.
So they're not going to find them. The Football League run the Carabao Cup, so they don't give a shit where they play either. So,
true.
You know.
And frankly,
carry on the Arsenal electricians.
Either. Yeah, true that. Good range of answers, actually, by the way, Danny. I like that sure question. It's quite a vague mix. I'm with David 100%. Nothing to do with the fact I fear them, because they are, well, you know what they are. But it's just the fact that I hate the games. I can never enjoy them. Absolutely love them when we've won. And let's be honest, we win most times we go there. But no, it's just a game I hate. Notable honourable mentions to Liverpool and the false myth about the atmosphere at Anfield. Not buying it, still don't buy it, it's a load of bollocks. And they are just the most horrendous bunch of fans in the world ever for banging on about the history.
That so notable, dreadful.
Isn't it just? So notable mention for them. And there's another club I don't particularly like going to, and I can't think which one it is now.
Not Man United, always.
Well, I mean, those ones go without saying, but there's one of the it would have been Stoke, of course. But of course, we don't have to worry about that. Because they're in another league.
I'm kind of surprised nobody said Turf Moor. It's always such a tough place to go.
Yeah.
It's a new thing, though.
It is tough playing Brexit FC up there. But
all right, Steve, back in your box.
But no, I mean, let's be honest, any sort of classic under the lights, in the rain, up north type of game is never fun. But I have a feeling this Arsenal side has got a bit more about it these days under Emery to deal with those sort of conditions. But yeah, for me, it's got to be that lot up the road. You know, you never want to go away to them. And it's just one of those games I never look forward to. So
I agree with you too. So that's made that nice and simple, because that is, I hate having to play them. In fact, the people I used to go to football with, his uncle could never go to the Spurs games. He couldn't cope with the stress. Mm. So the home Spurs games, he wouldn't turn up for. Anyway, so we've all answered that. Look, what part are we going on to now then?
We're going on to a section.
You your words tonight. You've been on the run again, haven't you?
I can't bloody speak tonight. It's terrible. It's all these wins. More on that later. I've kind of decided I went back and forth with this. In the end, I've just decided to call it the Pirate Plank, which is just a mini segment I've introduced. And it's just one simple question that I just want to get one sentence from you all. And my question I'm going to pose to you is, we've had a couple of months now under Unai Emery. I think we've seen enough to know our style of play, how we're looking to perform, what kind of expectations we have. So my simple question to you all is, do you feel this Arsenal side is now capable of challenging for the top four? Title, I think we'll leave that for another day, but top four alone, are you confident we can make that push? And if so, why? So Devin, let's start with you.
No, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that top five, yes. I think that, you know, this is a squad that's going to come together and make some runs. I said very clearly after the first two matches that I felt that we would be 6-2-2 after 10. We're still very much on pace for that. And I think that we can compete, but there's a lot of talent at the top. I mean, it's City and Liverpool running away. I think the challenge for us right now is going to be 4 and 5 between us and Spurs. And I think that ultimately, I hate to say it, but I think that they might just pip us at the end. And I wasn't expecting Chelsea to be this good either. So the battle for that top four is going to be very tough. But I don't think you should be upset if you finish 5th or 6th this season and look towards next season and 3 transfer windows, like I've said all along, for Emery as the marker for true success.
Good answer. Like it. David, what about yourself?
In one word, yes. I think we can. I think we will.
I share that. Anything specifically that's made you feel that way? Is it the other clubs rather than us, or is it more about us?
I think at the moment, well, I think we're going to finish above Tottenham because I think their problems are now coming home to roost.
Totally agree.
I think there's every chance that we may even finish above Manchester United.
Yep.
And so that's why I think we've got top four. I've actually backed us to finish 1st or 2nd, but I think I've probably lost my money already on that. But it's quite simply the fact that we appear to be beating the teams that we should be beating rather than losing to them, as in recent seasons.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And Danny, what about yourself?
Top four, possibly top five, definitely. You're not going to get Liverpool and Man City. Might as well just forget about them. It's a four-horse race for the top five, from 3rd to 5th place. It's us, Man United, Chelsea. And the Scum. The Scum are going to run out of power, of energy, unless they take their vitamins. Man United are an absolute joke. I mean, look at Sanchez, 3 goals in 23 games. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, dear. Maybe they'll have to do what is it?
600 quid a week.
Yeah. Well, Stoke or Sunderland did, but they just went, oh, we can't. And they got rid of their top goal scorer, or their most expensive signing that they got from your lot in France, didn't they?
Stoke?
Yeah, Stoke or Sunderland.
This season? As in Choupo Moting or...?
No, it's another one. They've let him go. It cost him 13 million.
Oh, Didier Ndong at Sunderland, the midfielder. Yeah, contract record signing. Wow. Hilarious. Yeah. Ex-Lorient boy as well.
Yes, yeah, so that's what made me think of you about it. Mm. But Man United, they're only a moment away from a car crash because it hasn't... I don't know if it's been one of those Twitter rumours where it's not true, but has Jose today said that Pogba would no longer be captain? Is that rubbish or was that actually happened?
No, apparently there's something in that. The Times got wind of it. The French press have picked up on it. That situation is going to end one way, and that situation will end in Mourinho going and Pogba being captain of the club for 3 years before he goes off to Barcelona. There's no way that they're going to sell a man who makes that much merchandise money and is that much of an iconic footballer. There's just no way. And I think it was on the Audio Telegraph podcast I was listening to today. They made an excellent point when they said that the bottom line is it happened under Mourinho at Chelsea, where some of the big players before he left that third season could easily have left, but they stayed.
Go most of the season with only 2 goals or something.
Exactly, but he stayed because he knew that he knew that the manager would go and he would outlast the manager, and so it proved. And I think that's what will happen with Pogba. So, it's quite funny from an Arsenal fan to look in from the outside. I would never write United off because it's United, but I'm completely with David on this one. I think Spurs will go back to the place they crawled out of 3 years ago, which will be funny. And I do think United are beatable in terms of finishing. I do think Liverpool, Man City are gone and over the hill. Not sure about Chelsea yet. I reserve judgment. They've started well, but who have they really played? Even us, you know, you could say they played us at a good time and we probably should have come away with something. So, I agree with David. I think top 3 or 4, probably 4 is realistic. 3, you just never know. So, yeah, good. Okay. Right, that's my little section done. So I'll turn the spotlight off, and now we'll put the spotlight back on you, the listeners. It's listeners' questions in general. So, Danny, what have we got?
Okie dokie. Alfredo says, what is the one improvement you feel has been made since the opening match of the season, Devon?
Offensive consistency. We're scoring goals.
Oh,
he's a pro. That's the sort of answers we like.
That's what I like. Okay, we've got lots of questions, so we've only got another 10 minutes to get through these. So this one will be for you, David, from Thomas. He says, do we start with Nketiah at centre forward versus Brentford, or let Aubameyang start to build up his hold-up play?
I think it's in brief, it will likely be Danny Welbeck, and Nketiah will get a substitute's appearance.
Okay, and for you, Chris, Thomas has a follow-up question. He says, should we go with Guendouzi, Elneny in the midfield? I think we covered that, didn't we?
Yeah, and we should, definitely. They are the two, quote-unquote, backups or rotational players, so yeah, definitely.
Okay, right. Back to you, Devon, from Noir Confidential. He's asked two questions. He says, in two words, what our team lacks the most? Oh, God, these are good questions. And he's also asked another question. While you're thinking about that, I'll answer this question. He says,
in two words, he said?
Yeah, in two words.
Centre backs.
Hey!
See, I would have gone with mental strength just for the lols. But I don't mean that, of course. But yeah. Little bit handbrake doesn't work. That's three words. Damn it.
Centre backs.
Yeah. Have you got an answer for this one, David? Because it's a good question.
No.
Have you, Chris? Not that you've ever answered anything in two words, so don't make a habit of it now.
With Devon, centre backs, that's a very, very good answer. Yeah.
I say shoot more, defend more.
Yeah.
And he also asks, what's the latest on the film and gaming podcast? If you're looking for a title, I think ABWR&R sounds nice. We're definitely going to do the gaming podcast. It might only just be a one-off, but it's going to be after Forza Horizon 4 comes out, and it's going to be a few of us get together and have a chat about it. But for the film one, that's I just watch a film for the entertainment value and nothing else other than that. And
it is now a good time to mention, particularly if he's listening, and I know he is, Stefan Selby, who very kindly donated us another tenner on the show tonight. Thank you, Stefan.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Should we mention him, Fark Ellis and Josh in the ABW Pro Clubs? Because I think a certain FIFA branded game was technically released today on early. So I imagine they'll be doing their Pro Clubs tournaments
again. You spent
again.
The 90 quid.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what we've been saving all this money for. It's so ABW can buy FIFA between us. But no, Danny, I don't know. Have you got the channel? What the channel is there? Is it just Pro Clubs ABW on YouTube?
No, it's at ABW Pro Clubs on Twitter. And just go on there, and then all the links will be out there. And when I see them, I retweet them. So Stefan runs that. And Stefan will probably be running our Forza Horizon 4 one as well. I'm not sure if we're going to have a separate Twitter app for that. But yeah, we definitely do one. And we talk about it, and it should be fun. And if it's something people like and it gets numbers, we might continue to do it, because the three main things I like is TV and film, computer games and football. Well, there is one other thing, but we don't talk about that because
don't talk about that.
What's wrong with doing a beer podcast?
If you want to, Dave, you are more than welcome. That's like the cricket one that Raj is meant to be organising.
ABW Beer and Film has quite a ring to it, actually, doesn't it? In sort of a roundabout way. So
ABW MLS Roundup, too, as Atlanta United charges through the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe not mention my club, but yeah, that'd be good. Cool. Right. Another question, Danny.
Yes. This one is from Guna Dub. This one will be for you, David. Is Czech's good form down to Jerry Payton finally leaving and him finally getting proper coaching? Oh, let's all have a moment of silence for Steve as he sits
Steve
back
with a lovely
big smile. Go on in.
I actually think it's because we've paid all that money for Bernlino, and he realises he has to be at the peak of his game if he's to keep his place. And I think all of the conditioning work that he clearly did in pre-season has helped, and I think he's probably playing his best football with his hands, which is what we want from a goalkeeper so far for us this season. The distribution, yes, he's been getting some stick for, but I thought that had improved on Sunday.
There were one or two times where he played it very confidently to the nearest defender, even one chip to Hector Bellerin. But there were also occasions when he realised that they were all being closed down and he just put his foot through it. And I think that's now the decision, the part of decision making that he's got to nail down, and we'll have a first class goalkeeper again.
Wise words as always. One for you, Chris, from Fail Fast. What do you see happening long-term with Ramsey and Ozil? They seem to occupy the same spaces, or like a Venn diagram.
Yeah, well, we've kind of touched on that, haven't we? I guess to answer this very quickly is I see one, if not both, not being at the club long-term. Probably more likely to be one, less likely to be at the club long-term. But yeah, I'm just not sure that that we can accommodate both in a starting lineup, to be honest with you.
Not if you're going to have to pay Aaron Ramsey £250,000 plus pounds a week.
That's another good point. Yeah, and if that affects our transfer budget potentially next summer, I'm not sure I'd be on board with paying that, to be honest.
Right, one for you, Devon, from Nicky Wilson. Is playing out from the back Emery's plan to draw the opposition out, but just not park the bus and kick and counter-attack us?
If you watch what he did at PSG and the way that they were able to pick teams apart, even with the talent that they had up top, it always started from the back. He did the same thing at Sevilla. It's his style. It's the way that we're going to have to play against against teams that are going to park the bus against us, knowing our creative flair. Get used to it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but it's here. And as long as Emery's here, it's going to be here.
Yep. Agree with that. Right, one more for Chris and David. What for you, David? Actually, no, you can have Pop Dibble Cheese one. He says, since it seems like Ramsey is reluctant to sign a new contract, wouldn't it be better if we just leave him out of the squad to focus on building our new system without him being in it? Or we're going to have to be mean here, David.
Well, I think I answered that earlier as well. I said if before Brentford, we haven't worked, or he and Ozil haven't worked out what they're being asked to do and improved, then I think probably he will be the one to be dropped.
I'll just come in quickly on that one, if I may. I sent a tweet a few weeks ago, probably just towards the start of the season, when I did say if Aaron Ramsey or indeed his agent are, you know, not willing to commit at this stage, I wouldn't be against the idea of leaving him out the side and building for the future. Some people took that a little bit literally and that I was just slagging him off. I wasn't. What I was essentially saying is we have to almost look at the situation with Aaron as we did with Alexis and say, realistically, he's probably not going to stay. So we need to explore as many options as we can without him, but still utilising the player while we've got him. My only issue in terms of dropping him is if his attitude, or, you know, if they started getting things in the press or his agent started talking. When a player's head's turned, you can't turn the head back. At the moment, I wouldn't at all question Aaron's commitment or desire on the pitch. He looks fully committed. So as long as that stays, keep him in the side. But I would definitely like to see us start to try other options. And I think that's probably why Guendouzi has played as many games as he has. I think Emre is looking towards the future, and also probably the reason why Xhaka has kept his place despite a lot of criticism. Because I think
how much of that is Aaron Ramsey, and how much of that is the fact that he's 29 years old seeking a 4-year extension? I mean, you have to look at Guendouzi as the future just on basic principle, because not only is he, in my opinion, a superior player for the system, he's also a decade younger, cost controlled, and wanting to be here with every minute that he's on the pitch. I think Ramsey's about the best situation for Ramsey, whether that's Arsenal or PSG or AC Milan or, you know, somewhere else. That's just what it appears to from my vantage point.
I think Jason made a good point as well, which is rare, but he made a good point. I'm joking, Jason, of course. But he was saying that if you're on Ramsey, maybe you look at it and go, do you know what? I've given this club the majority of my career. They've backed me when I was injured. I've repaid that faith. I had probably the season of my life in the year we won the cup. Was it the first or second time? Maybe he just wants something fresh, you know, and just
and bully for him. Bully Form.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very short career. That's the thing is, I think we as fans, we only pull for one club. It's offensive to us when people want to leave Arsenal, but that's because we're tied to it. These players may have the tie, and if they give 100% when they're on the pitch and then they do their 3 years and go somewhere else and do 3 years, like this idea that people are going to come and have a lifetime at a club, it's rare these days. It's gone. Yeah. The fact that Kun Aguero signed an extension at City to me was kind of mind-blowing, because I fully expected him to go chase money, as a 29-year-old looking at a contract rundown. So I don't look at these players when they move on as mercenaries or anything like that. I just look at a career for a professional football player being extremely short.
As I've always said, even at my level, Sunday League level, nobody will ever love the club as much as us, the supporters, or as my case, the owner of the club. Nobody will ever love it as much as us. And the players, unfortunately, whether you like it or you don't, it's a job.
Thierry Henry left. Thierry Henry left. You got to remember that.
Danny's never got over that.
No, I haven't.
And he won't invite him for dinner because of it. Yep. Any other questions, Danny? That was a good one. Thank you.
Just one quick thing I'd like to add to that. You were saying about possibly changing the midfield around a little bit. I wonder how long it will be. Ramsey doesn't seem to be... His heart isn't in the club. Ozil seems to be away with the fairies. How long it will be before we have Torreira doing the defensive work, Xhaka doing the stuff in the middle, and Guendouzi doing the bit between the attackers and the central midfielders, because he seems to have the passion, the energy, the everything. He seems to be really up for it. And Ramsey and Ozil never, so far this season, haven't had the enthusiasm to play football like Guendouzi has. And I would quite like to see Torreira, Xhaka, Guendouzi playing in that midfield three, and that will liven the whole situation up, because when they scored that goal at the weekend, the first person who they all ran to was Guendouzi. And I thought that's quite telling. And he seems to be the linchpin around the enthusiasm at the club at the moment. And
if you're going to do that, then give me a 4-3-1-2 with Ozil playing an actual 10 and Aubameyang and Lacazette up top.
Oh, stop it, you dirty boy.
Did you see Guendouzi went out to meet some of the fans on the concourse before the game? I thought that was quite a nice touch. Yeah, he was filmed. He went out into the, I think it's the Armory, and just signed a few autographs and met a few fans before the game. I thought that was quite a nice touch. Wouldn't you be
doing the same thing if you were 19 years old and living at a top football club?
And he's clearly, he's a lad who's, as much as I love my beloved Lorient, he's a lad who has walked out of the second tier of French football into one of the biggest clubs in Europe. So, I would be it's really refreshing to see a player who's just clearly loving playing for a top team. So, yeah, all power to him. Absolutely, 100%.
If I was there, might be knee deep in Haribo and mushrooms.
Indeed.
An actual Cadbury.
Yes.
I was thinking of the little mushrooms in Haribo. I wouldn't have any of those lot. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing anything different. Final question from Corey Austin. Has he got his shirt from the Pirates yet?
Oh, the legend that is Corey. It actually went in the post today. Genuine. I tweeted from the Pirates account. Yeah. Here's Chris Lodato's, Pedro McManus's, a few others. Yeah, they all went in today and joins the ever-growing batch of shirts around the world. So thank you, Corey.
Good. I'll be playing goalkeeper for you when I come across, just so you know.
Oh, I'll sign it up now.
His question to you, Chris, is, I have to say that when we play the, and then he puts in quote marks, so-called smaller teams, these clubs always raise their game against us, in brackets, a sign of respect, and sometimes give us a shock. Sheffield Wednesday is one good example of this. I think that wasn't a question, actually. I put that in the wrong bit. That's in the Fifes Forum.
Oh, you tit. Well, you still read it out, so...
I put it in the wrong bit. So, just coming in, he says, should we shoot more?
Absolutely.
Oh, the dog agrees as well.
The dog thinks we should shoot more, and he also thinks that, yes, all the smaller teams are going to give us their top effort every time that they get the opportunity to be featured against the top squad. Of course, you get energized to play the top boys.
Amen. Okay. And I think we're missing a trick, by the way, on social media. I'm amazed that the Lacazette celebration hasn't become a thing that people do, as in people like walking into restaurants doing it, or I don't know. The little walk or the little jig he does have to get out, I think that's something that needs to be maximised. But still, that's just me. Good. Okay. Anything else, Danny, or is that everything?
No, shout-outs now.
Fantastic. Gentlemen's nods there.
That's it, certainly.
Right. Would you like to go first in a change of scenery?
I will do. I would like to say hello to all the ladies from 25 to age 54, see, age 64, that make up 3.9% of our YouTube listenership. So hello to all you lovely ladies, and thank you very much for joining in.
Target demographics.
That's YouTube demographics for you people. I've got no idea what it means. Most of those probably just John catfishing everyone.
God bless. Okay. David, who would you like to say hello to?
Probably not for the first time, but at West Sam Tone. I think everybody knows I was extremely excited when Fulham got up again this year. Looked like he was going to be able to get me a ticket. Then he couldn't because they sold out at 30 plus. But today he has come up trumps. So thank you, West Sam Tone.
What a ledge. Well done, Tone. And Devon, anyone from yourself?
I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me back on. As I know for my third trip down ABW Lane, I have enjoyed it immensely.
You are more than welcome. We are always happy to have you back on, and anybody else who's graced our good ship, they're welcome back as well, within reason. So yes, good stuff. I've just got two quickies. I haven't said hello to Kelly for a while, so hello Kelly over in Canada. Still loves you lots. I also want to give almost an internal ABW shout to our very own Josh Dorr. Josh has recently moved house and he's just got a new job. He's been a very busy boy, so I just want to wish him all the best in his change of scenery, shall we put it that way.
I spoke to him today. They've given him his obligatory flat cap and whippet, and he was drinking a pint of mild when I spoke to him.
Excellent. I suppose the only downside is he is still ginger, but we can't have it all. So, yes, good stuff. Okay. Oh, and we should also say welcome back to Carl as well, because he's had a few things going on recently as well.
Welcome back, Carl.
Good to have Carl back.
Exactly that.
And about time he bloody did his job properly, because that underground is a joke. We're only joking, Carl. We love you, really. Okay, smashing. Right. I think we'll wrap this up then, Danny, as usual. Yep. If you like hearing a couple of middle-aged guys talk utter bollocks, stay tuned after the credits roll, where Danny and myself probably will be talking about some of the other results and general waffle. So if you like that, stay tuned. If you don't, you can turn off now. But my thanks to my guests. So thank you to Devon, to David, and to Danny. Thank you all very much.
Cheers.
Thank you. Excellent job.
You are well done yourself.
Our pleasure. this has been a Bird Count Wonderland podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Hit the bell icon on YouTube and keep on keeping it Arsenal. We'll speak to you next week. Hello? Are you still there? Hello, listeners. It's us again. We're still here. We've creaked open the chest of love, which sounds like something John Welsh would go out with on a Saturday night. And we're going to do the extras, which, as you know, is kind of the scores on the doors, if you will. And generally just me and Danny talking a little bit of bollocks for 10 to 15 minutes. So, Danny, you're still there.
Dust off
that book. What's been going on in reserves and ladies and all that good stuff? What's been going on in the other Arsenal teams this week?
Well, injury-wise, we'll start off with those. Papadopoulos has a dead leg. Socrates. Yeah. I thought, hold on, both our Greek blokes have got dead legs. No, he's got a dead leg, and they said late fitness test for the 26th of September, which is going to be tomorrow, but he won't be playing. So if it's a late fitness test, he's probably going to be all right then, isn't he?
I would imagine he'll probably miss the game tomorrow, but
be all right. I hope so. Yeah. Mkhitaryan, ankle injury, late fitness test again tomorrow, so he should be fit for the Watford game. Is it Watford at the weekend?
Yes.
Fucking
Saturday. Three o'clock on a Saturday. Whatever next?
Disgusting. They're fourth in the Premier League.
They are. They're having a lovely time. Yeah. Troy Deeney coming to Highbury. Coming to the Emirates. So that'll always be that'll be a thing, yes. With his big
history, he probably is off to Highbury after the burglar.
Weirdly, I kind of like him, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hate him, but I kind of like him at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's one of those.
So close together, he can see in any direction at once. I don't like that. I don't trust him.
No, but
they're too far apart. It's one or the other.
I'll say one thing about him though. He does talk. He does talk sense. Like he's one of those. He's one of those ex pros that when he's an ex pro, he'll be a good pundit because he's just so bloody honest. Don't get me wrong. He's a twat. But I kind of sort of secretly quite like him. So, yeah, that's killed anybody who used to like me. They won't like me anymore for saying that. But, you know, anyway.
Mavropanos, groin strain, it says here, 28th of October. That's a bit sad because now is when we need him and he could have done brilliant. Ashley Maitland-Niles.
Conservative.
He's a broken leg. That makes it sound a lot more horrendous than it is. But 22nd of October. Which is about a month away before we should be back in training.
He's and finally, ahead of schedule, I think. Keep talking. Good. I'm just going to find the quotes. Okay. But go on.
And Lauren Koscielny, it says here, no Achilles below the knee. That's the 25th of November. But again, he looks like to be, he is ahead of schedule so far. Have you found the information yet?
Yes, I have. And can I mention how lovely that video of Lolo and his little son on the pitch at the Emirates with Thierry Henry was the other day?
Did you see that?
Koscielny, him and his son were just playing, passing to each other on the pitch with Thierry. Yeah, just it was after the game on Sunday and he was in the crowd and he just had a little kickabout with his son on the pitch. It was really nice. I like that sort of stuff. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, small fracture to left fibia, progressing well, expected to return to full training in early October, initially aiming at return to training in November. So the Arsenal website have got this new thing where they actually give you accurate summary of the stuff now. So Mavropanos is still 4 weeks, as you said. Carl Jenkinson is back in full training now after a sprained ankle. So that's good news. He'll be back banging in the goals before you know it, probably in our end. But
I hope he gets another chance because he has had good games.
He's living the dream. He's living the dream.
He is living the dream.
Yeah, he's back in full training.
It's like Callum playing for the Pirates. He's living the dream.
Well, more on that in a second. But yes, so Maitland-Niles is slightly ahead of schedule. So that's good news.
Right, on to the under-23. Strap yourselves in, people, for some glorious results here. The under-23s had the visitors of the Bin Dippers, so everyone had to secure all their valuables. They only smashed them 4-0 with Bakayoko, but it's not. Bakayo Saka scored with an assist by Eddie Nketiah. Then Nketiah scored a goal himself 3 minutes later with an assist by Ole Yinka. And then Willock the Younger. And the reason I say that is because there's three Willocks. And back in the history of British politics, there was someone the Elder and someone the Younger. Pip the Elder and Pitt the Younger, I think, were two prime ministers of the UK. But that's just from memory, so it could be completely wrong. That's why I called him Willock the Younger. He is assisted by B. Saka, which is, it's him again. So he scored a goal and got an assist. Then Eddie Nketiah, 92nd minute, got his second goal of the game, assisted by Joseph Oluwu. So we absolutely smashed them. And I think I saw someone in from her first team that was playing there. No, maybe not. Julio Unpronounced. Oh, God, I've got the hiccups. Julio Unpronounceable played. The Welshman. Yeah, bless you. And the Welshman Burton, he played. What's his first name? Robbie Burton.
It should be Trevor.
It could be.
It would be great if it was. But, you know.
In that league now, they haven't even up. WhoScored.com have still got it down that Steve Gatting is the manager. And the little league table on the right-hand side says it's played six games. We haven't. It's played. It played six. And we are joint top with Everton and Chelsea. So then on to the under-18s. We went to Norwich on the 22nd, smashed them 5-1. Greenwood, the young man who we got from Sunderland, who was really good for those, he got a couple of goals. And Trey Coyle, he got a couple. So that's really good. We are now 1 point behind Spurs in that league. They've got 16, we've got 15, which is really good, but Norwich are bottom of the league. And the next result to go to is the Women's Super League. This is fantastic. Under new, semi-recent new management. We've got an Australian called Montemenura. I think he had an island full of crazy, deranged monsters.
They're doing this deliberately for you now, aren't they? Just making up names.
They are.
It's great.
We beat them 7-0. I mean, they are bottom of the league, but we smashed the overall 7-0. Jordan Nobbs got a couple. Who else got some goals? Little got one. Bloodworth, oh, that's a great name. A Dutch person got a goal. Mead got a goal. Maidema, she got one again. Goal scoring machine. And McCabe came on as a substitute and scored a goal. And then if it isn't, it gets any better. West Ham came to us and we beat them 4-3 with Van de Donk.
Van de Donk, yes.
Yeah, indeed. She scored a hat trick and got one assist. And Kim Little scored one as well. So in that Women's Super League, we're running away with it. After only three games, we've got a goal difference of plus 13. 16 goals in three games we scored. We're joint top with Birmingham. But in the goal scoring league, we've got Medema's on 4 in 3. Little's on 3 in 3. Van Donk is on 3 in 3. And Nobbs is on 2 in 3. So we're doing absolute wonders in that.
It's really good to see the ladies' team doing well again, isn't it? Because they dominated for years, didn't they? Now, I think there's Man City, Chelsea, and all the money-rich lot came in and it put them on the back foot. It's good to see them performing well again. Somebody good to follow, actually, if you like the women's game. Is it Tim? I get confused between the Tims. It's Tim Stillman, isn't it?
Stillman,
I
think
He's his Instagram's always very good with pictures of the... I was going to say pictures of the ladies. I didn't quite mean it like that. But he has good reports and pictures from games and stuff. He interviews a lot of the players. Give him a follow. I think it's at Stilberto, isn't it, on Twitter? I think
that's also a Brazilian football expert,
indeed. So he's a good follow, and he also puts a lot of pictures of his old-fashioned Arsenal shirts, that which obviously I'm a big fan of. So he's a good follow, so well done to the ladies. Absolutely,
he does a lot of interesting things. Do you think I should plagiarize the wonderful work of George Bird and read about the loan report?
Oh, of course, you've given him a shout, so yeah, why not.
Okay, Callum Chambers, he played the whole game as Fulham drew 1-1 with Watford. That's good. He's started the first couple, then was subbed the next ones. He didn't play much, and now he's starting again, which is good. David Ospina played the whole game as Napoli beat Torino 3-1. That's good. Matt Macy, he's playing for down in your lot. Plymouth have lost again. What do people think about Plymouth?
The natives are restless, but one thing I will say is Matt Macy has consistently been... playing very, very well. No, he's been playing very, very well.
He's lost nearly every game.
Yeah, but he's got a very, very poor defence in front of him. He's been consistently one of their best players. That's coming from a guy who goes home and away with Argyle that I know lives locally. So that's the one positive. And in a weird way, I almost want my goalkeepers getting battered when they go out on loan, because you see the best of them, don't you? So
for the man.
Yeah, and ultimately we don't really give a monkey's how many goals or games he loses on loan, as long as he becomes back a better keeper. Martinez did the same, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
they lost 2-1 to Charlton Athletic, but Christian Bielik didn't play because he's injured. For Charlton, Takumo Asano, unused substitute as Hanover lost 2-0 to Nuremberg. Reece Nelson was an unused substitute as Hoffenheim drew 1-1 with Dortmund, but didn't he come on as a sub in the Champions League?
He did, yes, against Shakhtar Donetsk.
I think he
only got the last 7 or 8 minutes, but he's enjoying it over there, from what I can gather. He's settled in nicely, so yeah, good times. Yeah.
And Kelechi Nkwali didn't play for Porto B in the Portuguese second division, as they drew 1-1 with Udi Oliveirense, or something sounding like rhyming with that. So, I mean, if he's not making the team in the Portuguese second division, which is a farmers league, then you know you're not going to do much. It's a poor league. I don't know why he decided to go on loan there. Terrible thing. If you want to go there, I mean, maybe it was with a view to try and eventually get some games with the first team, because I know they do often. When a player goes on loan to a Dutch team or a Portuguese team, they will play for the first team. Like when one of our lot was playing for the first team in Holland in the first division last season, and he was also mostly playing for their reserve team, which were in the fourth or fifth tier of Dutch football, which is a bit pointless. Yeah, and other than that, is there anything else I usually do that we haven't done? Because that's passed quite quickly.
No, I think we're bang on trend this week. I can't think of anything that we've not covered there. So good. Do you want a little tickle on the old
play
pirate?
On the Pirates? That'd be lovely. That's what everyone's here for, really.
Well, naturally.
You won again, didn't you?
Well, yes. Well, for anyone that gives a monkeys, all four of you listening, yes, we're doing well, Danny. We finally, I think it'd be fair to say, I finally got a squad together that I'm moulding. Something is happening. Signs are good. We've actually won for the first time in our history 3 games in a row, and we've won 4 of our last 5. If you want to add it up like that. So this week we played, and it should be stressed, three cup games straight, and we've won against league above us, or league above us opposition, three straight games. This weekend we beat Plimpton Athletic, who the run started against. We beat them a few weeks ago 3-1. We beat them 4-3 this weekend in a bit of a thriller. We were 2-0 up, and really we were cruising. We were on top, but we conceded a sloppy one just for half time. Worst time to concede a goal, as everyone knows. And then straight into the second half, we were caught cold 2-2, but then we got it back to 3-2 and eventually 4-2 before they got a late penalty given against us. And it was a bit of a scramble towards the end, but we held on for the 4-3. So we're into the quarterfinals of one cup and into the second round of two other cups. And yeah, league form, we've got a 2 week break now because I'm on holiday for 2 weeks. So we've got two dead fixtures, but we're back in action.
You've been away for 2 weeks?
12 days. Yeah. So,
you lived the life, didn't you?
Happy days. So if you're listening to this podcast and you live in Malta and you want my autograph, yeah, just give me a quick ring and I'll pop over and sign something for you. That's no problem.
Hundred pirate. That's all they need to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just look up into the sky and look for the bat symbol. Pirate symbol. Sorry. Yes. But
the question everybody wants to know is, can you translate your cup form into league form? That's what much of the day would be asking.
Absolutely, and we do need to. We can't just be a cup team. We're out of eight teams, I think we're third bottom in the league at the moment, but we have got two games in hand on the teams above us. And in the league at the moment, I think Activate and Plimpton Athletic, who are top. Oh my word, what a goal Derby have just scored. That is a brilliant free kick. You need to look this up, Danny, if you haven't seen it. What a goal. Is it Mason Mount? Is that the Chelsea? Is it Mason Mount who scored it? Number seven for Derby has just hit an absolute worldie of a free kick, and it's 1-1.
In the League Cup.
Yeah, 1-1 at Old Trafford.
Number seven for Derby is a bloke called Wilson.
Harry Wilson. He's not ex-Spurs, is he?
I think he's ex-Man United.
Ex-Man United, is he?
Maybe.
Well, anyway, he's hit a free kick. It's easily 35 yards. Goalkeeper doesn't move. It's brilliant. Anyway, things are going well. Your man Callum is still in the goals. He's actually a substitute last week because he's been injured recently and we didn't want to risk him, but we had a very strong bench. We're performing well, but yeah, we got games in hand on the league, and we're doing all right, and it's really nice. It's sort of, all jokes aside, it's really lovely to see players enjoying their football at this level, and we're performing really, really well. So we have actually, we are going to be doing a new fundraiser soon, Danny. I haven't actually got everything in place yet. So I think rather than sort of, fudge it, I think I'd rather maybe announce it when it's definite. But we are going to be giving away some pirate shirts again. And if you want to join the several people now who've got the up-to-date pirate shirts, you've seen these, Danny, haven't you? We're doing ABW. Yeah, well, we're doing ABW bespoke shirts now, where we can print the Birdcap Wonderland on them for you, and the sleeve patches and everything. If you want one, get in touch with me at AFCFreddy8 or at Barbican Pirates on Twitter, and we'll get you sorted out. We post all over the world. We'll put your name and number on the shirt if you want. Thanks for the support, and it's been really, really good season, and we're really enjoying it. So hopefully we can kick on and go up that league. We're aiming for third, realistically, but it'd be good if we can get up that table.
That you Instagrammed, I'm not sure if that's a verb, a picture of all the dirty people standing in the corner trying to give themselves terminal illnesses. I hope Callum wasn't one of those people, was he?
He actually was, yeah. That was taken from the weekend's game, not where it was very wet. It was a very wet game. It was pissing with rain, to be honest. So a lot of the players took refuge under the trees, and I managed to snap that shot. So
pointed out to them that if they're trying to give themselves terminal illnesses, then that it's not a good idea if you want to be a sportsman. You need to fucking sort your lives out.
I agree. You wouldn't see that in the Premier League unless you're Mauricio Sarri chewing on the fact. But
I'm very disappointed in Callum.
I know. I know it's poor. I will pass that on. I'll say Danny is not happy with you.
Very unhappy. What does he gain from it apart from looking cool?
I know.
He's not cool anymore, so don't do it.
He's been on these bloody annoying vape things for a while. So he is. I should say actually, he is a new father. So
is he? He's only 14.
I know. He's had his first child fairly recently with his his lovely lady Becca. So yeah, he's having a lot of sleepless nights at the moment, bless him. And
it affecting his form.
That's why he's on the fags. No, he's still doing well. He's still got was it 80 odd goals in 90. Hang on, I'll tell you, he's our all time top goal scorer, and he just keeps.
Have you ever scored for the Pirates?
No, sadly. No. Oh no, actually, no, I have. That's a lie. Hello. I've scored twice.
Oh Jesus!
Long time ago now, but yeah, no, I have scored two goals for us back in the past. One was a worldie, actually. I could never do it again.
Of course, it was. A nice Callum Winterburn-esque fullback for the middle.
It really was. Yeah, that's a perfect way of putting it. 93 games, 88 goals for Callum now.
Fuck off, Man City. It's not ours. Not having him. Better than Aguero.
Yeah. There you go. So, no, good times. We're enjoying it. It's been good fun. And, yeah, like I say, genuinely, we're quite active on Twitter this year. It's been quite fun interacting with people, and we're building the following. So if you're a fan of the podcast and you're a fan of my ramblings, then give us a follow. And we'll have a little laugh with you.
Okay. All right. I think it's time that we ended this shenanigans and ended the part two of the show. And there won't be a part three, people. Don't get your hopes up.
No extras tonight. No. Right. It was a seamless show tonight, wasn't it?
It was, because Hollick was on, and he is seamless.
No fucking about.
Well, we should say, go and listen to Gooners in USA podcast, because our very own Jeff Arsenal is on there tonight. Rather than being on with us, he was planned to be on with us, but they made a last-minute loan move, and they got him.
I haven't heard from GA in a long time. He's been here, there, and everywhere in Europe, and he's been all over the shop.
He's been taking globe-trotting to a new level.
Yeah, it'll be good to hear him back on soon. I'll give a quick shout out as well. Bruised Banana Pod.
Oh, they're very good.
Very good listen. Yeah, I'm really enjoying their stuff. So if you fancy another show as well as ours, give them
a
little.
They're very professional, aren't they? They kind of put us to shame with the professionalism that they all have. Top quality.
We change them, will we? We like doing things the way we do them, don't we? Yeah. You know, we would change our dirty ways. So that's what people listen.
And we should say, fuck you, FIFA 19, you money-grabbing bastards.
Yeah, I'm not.
Unless you want to sponsor the show, then we love you. But otherwise, fuck you and fuck your £60 to £90 for the fucking game. Fuck
three
off.
Copies. Yeah, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? That price for a game.
I've got 32 quid in Tesco's vouchers, and until I can get that for 32 quid, I won't be buying the game.
See, I've got a dilemma, because I've got like 90 quid on a Nectar card, but it seems like a bit of a... Not a waste, but it's like to max all that in one go seems like a bit of a, I don't know. It just
my neighbours are moving in.
Are they?
Colin the Spider Catcher moved out at the end of May, and I've got my lovely new neighbour moving in with her son Dave. She works in Wilkinson's.
Go and throw eggs at them just for a laugh.
No, I can't convince them to move in. I said, it's very quiet here. And everyone we know, all the neighbours all know each other, which is lovely.
God bless you.
Yes.
Right, let's fuck off, Danny, because nobody wants to listen to us talk forever, do they? So radio show is on Saturday after the Watford game, round about 5-10 minutes after the game.
Yep.
Then we got Tesco carrier bag next Thursday. There'll be a radio show after that, and there'll be a pod as usual next Tuesday.
And the radio show tomorrow night.
Oh, of course. Sorry, a radio show after Brentford as well. Yeah, who's on? Jason?
I don't know yet. No, it's I'm none of that lot. I do it the way that a show is meant to be done, to get the listeners on before you and Jace. We're not having listeners on. Don't like them. Amateurs.
Hey, I don't talk Welsh, you cheeky bastard.
Oh, yeah, of course you don't. I've asked a few people. Stuart was busy. Ryan was busy. Stan, I'm not going to bother asking Stan, because his laptop is never bloody working. And... asked another Andrew, and he said he's busy. Cash? Cactus Cass hasn't got back to me yet. Marcus said, when is it? And 31 minutes ago, I told him 10 minutes after the game. And so, people, there's five listeners there we've tried to get on, and it seems like it's just going to be me on my own. So I might have to resort to asking Josh, because now he's up north all on his own, afraid to go out because there's monsters outside.
Oh, bless him. Well, either way, we'll have a show. Somebody will be on it. We don't know who. So,
probably.
What better way can you promote in a show than that?
Don't know who's going to be on. And I don't even know if I'll be able to watch the game because my Amazon box isn't working.
And I won't be watching streams. So, fuck streams. I'll just be tuning in via the Arsenal app, I think is probably the best thing. Oh, it's a red card. Who's that for? Oh, Man United goalkeeper. Is that red card to Man United goalkeeper? That's quite funny, isn't it?
What a way to end a show.
What a way to show. Right. See you later, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. Danny, you've been amazing.
Thank you very much for hosting.
You're more than welcome. Speak to you soon, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And here's some more shenanigans after the podcast ended.
Speak to you soon, everybody.
Bye-bye. Nanu.
Come.
What did you say that for?
I don't know, it just came out.
You can't say that. You've got the whole pod about swear word and you slip that in at the end of it. Like
it's almost like I just had to. It's like it just fell out. Like John Welsh for Saturday night, it just fell out.
They're sorry, playing Fraud Carcou up front. They're playing almost a full strength team against.
But Romero's just been sent off for handling outside his box.
And who they're going to bring on? They're going to probably put Sanchez in goal because fuck knows he's no good up front.
Put Raymond van der Hauw on. Is he still there?
Well, they've got Grant. Grant's number 3rd. Lee Grant. Is he a goalkeeper?
Danny, I only need one goal and two more corners to win 65 quid. Can you make that happen, please?
No. Is Lee Grant a goalkeeper?
Yes. They signed him from Stoke, didn't they?
He's 35 years old.
Yeah. He's coming on. Living the dream.
That sums up Jose Mourinho at Man United, giving youth no chance.
Absolutely. Nor should he.
35-year-old from Stoke. I've never even heard of him.
Yeah, he's still going strong there, bless him.
So he's coming on, I take it.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to. Can't put nobody in goal, can they? Put no fucker in goal.
Derby. He's played for Derby for seven years. He had another spell of 4 years, so he's played him for 11 years.
Yeah. Legend. Well,
yes, indeed.
Let's go and see what happens, shall we?
107, 186 games he played for them.
Yeah. Hmm. I need a piss, so I'm going to go. Yeah. Okay. Right. Thank you for having me, as usual. Yeah.
Cheers. It was a joy.
Pleasure. And
have a nice holiday.
Yes, we'll do. I'll probably be in touch before I go.